Well, I'm really pleased to welcome Dr. Christian Northrup, a visionary health pioneer and a women's health expert, wellness speaker and New York Times best-selling author. She's one of the world's leading authority in the field of women's health and wellness. Dr. Northrup was an assistant clinical director in obstetrics and gynecology at Maine Medical Center for 20 years. And what I love about her, she's also a leading proponent of medicine that acknowledges the unity of mind, body, emotions and spirit. Dr. Northrup helps empower women to retune their into innate wisdom to transform their health and truly flourish. And I love that word flourish, which is actually the name of Dr. Northrup's radio show, which is fabulous. Christian is also an author of many books, including Women's Body, Women's Wisdom, which I'll mention again at the end because I think it's a fabulous resource for women listening to this interview, and it's freely available on Amazon in the UK and in the States. So Christian, thank you very much for giving your time to join us on this call.
Well, it's my pleasure. Do anything I can to help alleviate the incredible stress of being given a diagnosis of infertility or even thinking that your time is running out.
Thank you. Okay. I just want to start by, as you started your career in the world of medicine, what prompted you to move from a more traditional approach, from what I guess your training led you into, to medicine and healing, with more into a more holistic one, utilizing the mind and the body and the spirit?
I actually grew up that way. My father believed, he was a dentist, and he believed that the mouth was the center of the personality, and that you could really improve your health through nutrition and this sort of thing. So I grew up on so-called health food, and my aunt and uncle were medical doctors, very conventional. So I had the two points of view at Thanksgiving dinner and at Christmas. This was how I grew up. But we had an organic garden, a compost pile, and my dad had my mother make yogurt. This was way before yogurt was commercially available, and take it to his patients who were on antibiotics to repopulate their guts with healthy bacteria. And I also had the experience of a couple siblings who had diagnoses that the medical profession couldn't figure out. And after one sister died in the hospital, my mother took my brother out of the hospital against medical advice. And he would have died in the hospital if they hadn't taken him out. He was tube fed every hour on the hour while I was about 8 years old. And eventually he recovered at the age of 1 year old. He weighed 10 pounds. And the doctors had told my mother he was retarded, that he wouldn't live, and none of that turned out to be true. So at a very tender age, I learned the limits of conventional medicine and conventional medical thinking. In fact, when I was interviewing at Yale Medical School, my father developed chest pain and was in the intensive care unit for a couple days at the hospital, and called my mother and said, Edna, come and get me. They don't know what's going on. And so she drove in and sprung him from the cardiac intensive care unit, you know, with the chest lead still on his chest, and the nurses were angry and all of that. And when I came home from my interview, he was sitting up in a chair because he had fluid two-thirds of the way up in his lung fields. And he had had pericarditis, infectious pericarditis, infection of the sac around the heart. And they were treating him for a heart attack, which he hadn't had. And so I watched rather severe illnesses get better at home. And so when I was a resident in hospital, and the nurses would get all upset that someone wanted to leave, they would always send me down, and I would say, you know, why are you leaving? And I would always find out that no one was telling them what was going on, and they were uncomfortable, and they didn't feel heard, and they would talk to me. And I would say, go ahead and leave. We'll be right here if you come back. We give medical authorities far too much power. We each have an inner wisdom that knows. And when you can partner with that and have a medical team that also partners with that, then you have good medicine. But the other stuff is just an authoritative experience where they look at you and think they know better than you know. What I like to say is you have knowledge of your body, and they have a body of knowledge. You've got to bring the two things together.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. No, I love that.
So I already was like that when I went in, and then shortly after my residency in obstetrics and gynecology, I began to do work with Michio Kushi, who was the main founder of the macrobiotic nutrition movement in the United States.
Mm.
And I saw how nutrition changed people's health and lives in a relatively short period of time. Within 2 months, their faces were different and everything was different. And he saw patients who had been given up by the medical system. You know, they'd come in with their charts and they'd had chemo and they'd had everything known to humanity.
Mm.
And the doctors just said, go home and die. So I could never understand the arrogance of the medical profession dismissing something like diet when they had nothing else to offer.
Mm.
That's so arrogant, you see. And so I began to put nutrition into my practice, and I did all of this. And of course, to the ridicule of my colleagues. But remember, I already had the support of my original family. We all, to feel healthy, we need a sense of belonging and a sense of safety and security. And I had that from my original family, so I didn't need it as much from the medical family, you see.
It's a lovely story. Thank you for that. And I'm just grateful for pioneers like you to expand the message and within the medical fraternity as well, that this there's more to just the medicine. So thank you for that. And what would your recommendation be to someone who is struggling to conceive?
The first thing I would say is you must begin to think of yourself as a second fertile person. Just because at the moment you're not conceiving a child does not mean that you're hopelessly infertile. I remember when I was in training and we would do a tubal ligation, I remember wheeling patients into the recovery room, and the surgeon would look at the patient when she was in that highly suggestible post-anesthetic state and say, "You're sterile." And I remember thinking, this couldn't be a worse message to give to a woman who's just had a tubal ligation.
Mm.
We're never sterile. We are creative beings by our very nature. And so the first thing I would do is understand that you have many, many, many options. The body is like organic soil, and it needs to be replenished with enough vitamin D, enough omega-3 fats. So you must nutrient the soil. Any farmer knows this. Any farmer knows that the crop yield is dependent on the cycles of nature, the phases of the moon. We're connected with nature. And we use this term, stress. It's such a wastebasket term. But stress is whenever something in your life is not the way you wish it were, and stress comes from not getting your emotional needs met, or nutritional needs, or basic human needs. All human emotions come from an attempt to get a legitimate need met.
Mm.
So if you are angry, if you are fearful, if you are tired, you have a legitimate need, and when the need gets met, cortisol levels in the body go down, epinephrine levels go down. When stress hormone levels are too high over too long a period of time, they wreak havoc with steroid hormones in the body, testosterone, estrogen, progesterone. But when you connect with nature, with source energy, with your inherent fertility, the body breathes a sigh of relief, and you realize, oh, okay, I can be a channel for new life. Now, sometimes, and I'm sure you know this through your work, the pathway that the soul has chosen is to nurture new life in a way that is different from having a biologic child. But that's not anything that you need to accept until it's time to accept that, because many, many, many people, I can't even begin to tell you over my decades in women's health, all the women who were told, you won't ever get pregnant by some doctor. Mm. And then lo and behold, they get pregnant on vacation. I remember a couple who came in, and the husband was given the diagnosis of azoospermia, no sperm whatsoever. Mm. And 2 years later, they had twins that looked exactly like him. So much for no sperm. you really, unless a woman is missing a uterus and tubes and ovaries, or a man is missing testicles or has had his vasectomy, there's always a chance for pregnancy. I find it fascinating that when a soul wants to come in, you almost can't keep them out.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I echo a lot of that, and it echoes kind of our personal experience on our journey as well. And very much agree about emotional needs not being met and results in emotional stress. And in the UK, there's a form of kind of therapy called Human Givens, and they have about 12 human needs which they say you need to be met. And if you get an imbalance or some of those aren't being met, that can lead to stress. And I remember on an online seminar recently, I went through those. If you're going through infertility, this could be your experience, because this was my experience. And the number of those which typically are not met by people going through their fertility journey is incredible. And it's finding ways of having those needs met, both the physical
That's
and emotional.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And one thing that I want all people to know is that it's not necessary for the immediate people in your environment to meet those needs. Mm. It's not always their responsibility. No. But if you realize that you have a connection to source energy, to your mm. soul, and that connection can attract to you the needs, the fulfillment of your needs. Mm. So you know, instead of being angry with your mate for not providing what you need, you must learn how to ask for what you need in a way that is not shaming or blaming.
Mm.
And many, many women I know need to learn how to receive. They need to ask for what they need. Most don't have a clue how to do that, because they're socialized that to be a good woman means that you will give, and hopefully you might receive in heaven if you're a good enough person.
Yeah, thank you for that. And in what way do you think mind-body programs can help someone, or especially women, with fertility? Whether trying to conceive naturally or going through treatment?
Right. There isn't a question that, in my mind, the mind-body program should be one of the very first things you do.
Mm.
Typically, it's one of the last things you do after you've exhausted all of the all the technological ways and the this and the that and the pipettes and
Absolutely.
The shots and the hormone. It should be right up front as the first thing that you do, because many times that's all that's necessary. There's a woman, the late Naravi Payne, who wrote a book called The Whole Person Fertility Program. And we worked with Naravi back in the 80s. And she would do what was called an epistogram with people, where they would do a genealogy of their family. And what happens in families is that beliefs get passed down and not examined for generations and generations. And so, for instance, there's always... there might be a message to a little child at age 5 that pregnancy or labor was the worst thing that ever happened to Aunt Louise, let's say, and then she died in childbirth. And the 5-year-old gets the idea, I will never let that happen to me.
Mm.
So what Naravi would do after people did their whole family history, she would ask them the question, and why don't you want to get pregnant? And oftentimes the person would burst into tears because that unnamed fear or that unnamed belief then had a chance to come to the surface, be named, be loved, be accepted, and then released. Just one example, and then of course there's meditation practices and all of that, but in my mind, the first thing I would do is mind-body processes such as you teach, and then the last thing I would do would be the technology, and people have it exactly backward.
Yeah.
You know, they'll mortgage their house, at least in the States. They'll put 2 and 3 mortgages on their house for another round of IVF, but they aren't willing to look into their own hearts. Because as the famous psychiatrist Carl Jung says, people will do anything. They'll climb mountains, they'll do strange yoga poses, they'll meditate for hours, they'll do anything to avoid looking into their souls. But really, that's the place where it all lies.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was my personal experience. It took a double infertility for me to be diagnosed infertile after 8 years going on a journey with my wife, for me to look into my soul. And there's lots of stuff there, been buried over 30 odd years,
Stuff from your father, stuff you didn't even know that wasn't actually even yours.
And so I look back and it was the best and worst thing that happened to me. And looking back now, having obviously we can see naturally, definitely the best. It's woken me up to my emotions and my soul. Thank you for
and
that.
And then your child.
Yes,
I like not to have to do it.
Yeah, I like to think we'd
run. Yeah, they run in generations, but now this child has a clean slate because of the work we did.
I like to think. Your career. I like to think we're starting in this generation is a new clean slate.
That's right.
So, thank you, Dr. Northrup, for your time and what you shared. And if someone wants to find out more about your work, how can they go about that? And I'd like to also mention again your book, Women's Body, Women's Wisdom, because I do think it's a fabulous resource for people on their fertility journey, obviously women on their fertility journey. But how else can they find more about your work?
Well, the other book I want people to know about is called Mother-Daughter Wisdom, and this is a book for remothering yourself. And many times women find out that the patterns that they didn't know they had will arise as they read through the book. Ostensibly, people think it's a book about raising a daughter. It's not really. It's about raising yourself. So I want them to know about that. But also my website, Dr. Northrup, NORTHRUP.com, and then Dr. Christian Northrup on Facebook. I have a very active community, and I'm posting things all the time. And those are two very good ways. And, of course, my radio show, it's an internet radio show, Flourish, on HayHouseRadio.com. And that's every Wednesday. The shows repeat 6 times. And I often interview guests and tell women and men all over the world how to truly flourish in their bodies.
Wonderful. Thank you. Well, I'll put the link to your website and the Facebook group and the radio show on the webpage for you. People should see that next to this interview. So
beautiful.
Thank you for that. And I'm a big fan of Hay House Radio and particularly your show. So, thank you for that.
Great.
So, Christian, thank you so much again for your time and participating in this call. And I hope the listeners have found it useful and they can obviously see your book and your website for more information on your excellent work in helping women really wake up and tune into their innate inner wisdom to really transform their health and fertility.
Beautiful.
So thank you very much.
Thank you. All right.
Thank you.
Goodbye now.
Bye.